Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 to 44. Imminence of the second coming is our sermon. As we survey the world around us, the situation seems so precarious. As we look deeply and we look realistically in our homes, we see families falling apart without Christ. And in the society, we see the marriage institution falling apart from God's order. This is news just in the last few months. What will life be in one generation from now? In the international arena, we have news that relationship between certain countries are precariously fragile. We are marching head on toward a possible third world war, some remarked. In the environmental front, we see men polluting the atmosphere with utter disregard. Senseless things that men would do. And as you look at the world around us, it seems that there are more and more of these matters causing us to think and rethink the world that we are in and evaluate what is it or how is it that the world is moving on. God's solution for this world is that His Son must return to establish true peace and order on earth. If you go to the United Nations, you would see the Bible verse that is described there from the book of Isaiah, speaking of the coming millennium of peace, seeking to find that elusive entity of world peace. You'll find that this will not take place until the time when the world will be brought under one head and unified under Christ. Everything is going to make sense. And the Bible tells us, out of all the senseless happenings that we see around the world, airplanes falling down from the sky, and the many things that cause us to think what kind of a world we are living in, well, the Lord tells us that there is an order that God has made and that God has given to us, that Christ must reign. The Bible says that all things shall be subdued unto Him. All rule, all authority and power. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 24, 25 and 28. And Christ will commit all things unto the Father, that God may be all in all. Today you see men in rebellion against God, her Creator. And the Scripture tells us that the day is coming when God would bring universal order. The Lord's will is that His people be prepared for His coming. What we have studied so far are the facts concerning the signs leading to Christ's coming and the manner of his coming. The question that Matthew wants us to see now in our verses, in our text from verses 36 to 44, is how we are to be prepared. We know that a time of consummation will come. It is certain. If Christ does not return, then the chaos with human government would find no viable, possible solution. Our text sets for us four thoughts for our wisdom. Firstly, how should we prepare? Do not set dates. That's what verse 36 tells us. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Do not be complacent. Verses 37 to 39. Matthew gives to us the example of Noah and his time. And we shall be looking at length concerning the times of Noah and how it parallel our time. In verses 40 to 41, do not be left behind. Verses 42 to 44, watch and be ready. And so these four thoughts form a cross as we prepare ourselves to see for Christ coming again. First thought in verse 36, do not set dates. As to the exact hour and day of his coming, the Lord says, no one knows. And so if there's anyone who tells you that the Lord is coming on this day, do not believe him. In human history, there are so many who have stopped all things, doing all things, and they prepare themselves for a preset date that they have concocted out of the imaginations of their heart. The Lord says, don't believe them. Don't believe them. You would not know the day and the hour. But the Lord did not tell us that we would not know the season in which he would come. As we have been studying, the Lord gave to us clear signs that we may know concerning the nearness of his return. And so the Lord did not leave us without any knowledge, clueless. But he tells us that as to that exact time, well, do not speculate. The Lord wants us to have a perspective concerning his coming that allows us to prepare ourselves correctly, appropriately. That life does not come to a standstill. Whenever you see men setting dates, which, you know, the time comes and the time passes and nothing happens. The Lord tells us that his coming is certain. It will come. And he tells you that you are to be prepared. How can you prepare yourself? Verses 37 to 39 tells us, do not be complacent. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. It is a warning, a contrast that the Lord is giving us by these words, that the world seemed to be living oblivious of a coming judgment. They don't realize it. Life goes on as usual. Eat, drink, and be merry. We have so much goods laid up for the future. The world seems to feel very secure in that sense, in their make-believe sense of prosperity. And this is what we see here in Singapore, isn't it? Life is good, but this is a deception, dear friends. This was the deception in Noah's time. Are the people really living that well? If you were to make a careful analysis, the nations of the world, although they are building taller and taller buildings, but they are more and more in debt. Although there are marriages still taking place, but you are seeing more and more divorces also taking place. The Lord is saying to us that we are to realize that it is a day when, it is a time when things don't seem to be what God's word says it is to be. Remember, before the flood came, there was no rain. How would the world understand to know that there's a judgment coming? Except to take heed to the word of God, isn't it? They have never seen a flood before. Right? There has never rained before. The earth was, you know, such a blissful place for existence. And life seems to go on as usual. But God said that Noah did something. He believed God and His word. The Bible says in Hebrews verse 11, chapter 11, verse 7, that by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. While the world was eating and drinking and living as if they are going to be here forever, you see Noah doing something very different. He was preparing the ark. And he understood by faith that the flood would come. And the only way to save the world from the flood is the ark. And he built it. Piece by piece, it took him more than 100 years to put the ark together. Laborious work. A work that required much faith. The Bible tells us the world mocked as they see the edifice being built. Well, we have a building that is built like an ark. It's a reminder to us that when God would judge the world again, the Lord tells us, remember the story of the ark. and you are here in this building, no accident. The Lord wants you to be prepared. And the Lord wants you to know the certainty of the judgment to come and the work that He has for you to do before the judgment would come. On the 26th of December 2004, if the world had known that there would be an undersea earthquake with a magnitude of 9.1 and 9.3, the largest earthquake ever recorded, with an epicenter off the west coast of Sumatra in Indonesia, 225,000 people from 11 countries would not have perished from the tsunami that towered 100 feet high. I recall giving a call at that time because we heard some news concerning the work in Sri Lanka. And indeed, we heard news of the preacher who went to the beach and saw everything dried up. He quickly ran away. And, you know, we visited the church there at that time, or after that time, and, you know, we were told how the water came up. Didn't flood the church. But very serious. The Lord wants us to take His word seriously. When the Lord says that He is going to judge, it means that a judgment is going to come. But He also warned Noah. Noah was privileged. He found grace, the Bible says, in the sight of God. And you, all of us, have found grace in the sight of God because we have the Word of God to warn us in this time and age concerning His coming again. And the Lord wants us to be prepared. Only in Jesus Christ is the world going to escape the carnage to come. Not by a flood of water, but by a flood of fire. And the only way out is up. The Lord will take the church to glory in the rapture. And it is an event that the Lord wants us to know is coming. And He wants us to be prepared. Are we not privileged that God has revealed His truth to us? And how we have to be reminded time and again of the coming of the Lord, the falling away of the church, the ungodliness that is in the world. How are we responding to all this? How are we preparing our lives? There was a man whom Jesus described who was building barns and greater barns. He was pulling down his barns and he was building even greater barns. And the Bible, and Jesus says, this man is not rich toward God. He was rich toward the things of this world. And he was very disappointed because he realized that when he dies, there is nothing he could bring with him out of this world. The Lord wants us to have a perspective of the value system that God wants us to have. Not an earthbound value system. An earthbound value system would cause us, you know, to be interested only in building an earthly house. The Bible tells us that you won't be satisfied with it, because you will lose it one way or another. But he tells us that you can use your time, your resources, to bring in greater eternal spiritual benefit. And he wants us to think, and he wants you to think, what you can do for his kingdom's sake. For Noah, the Bible says he was moved with fear. The truth of God's coming judgment was effectual in his heart. Noah took action to prepare for the coming global destruction. He put his house in order. He got ready. He built an ark. As the minutes ticked, Noah prepared. As the minutes tick, the Lord wants you to prepare. He doesn't want any one of us to suffer loss. Genesis 6:22 says, Noah, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Dear friends, the world continues to focus its effort to build bigger barns and taller buildings. That's what our text tells us in Matthew 24:38. Things went on as usual until Noah entered into the ark. Verse 40 to 41. Do not be left behind. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken and the other left. Verse 40 and 41 serves as a warning to the saved and the unsaved. For those who are saved, well, we know, absent in the body, present with the Lord. The Lord comes, we would go. But the Lord, this text also tells us that there is the unsaved. The people around you could be your loved one, someone you are concerned about, that there would be a separation coming, and that he wants you to do something. Noah did what was needful to save his family, family of eight. All were saved. As he prepared the hearts of the people, the family. The Lord wants you also to prepare the hearts of your family, that they may be ready. You know, as you read this text in from verses 41 to 40 to 41, you see the development, right? We see the signs in the beginning of chapter 24. Then you see the tribulation days coming. Then you see the consummation when Christ returns. But it did not speak about the coming millennium when Christ would rule upon earth. But there seemed to be a switch here to tell us that we are to be prepared. And so, as I study this text, I would see that, you know, the Lord would want us to understand and insert here to apply that indeed a rapture would take place. I know that there are some commentators who would describe these verses in 40 to 41 in a way that there is a separation for those who would enter the millennium and those who would not. Right? But I would be inclined to look at it as the rapture of the church. There will be a separation. And the word given there in verse 40 and 41 at the end is one taken and the other left. Right? That is the word that is used in the same form in Matthew 23:38, when our Lord pronounced the judgment upon rebellious Israel. The Lord says, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." This is the same form, the word that was used in the first time in Matthew 23, verse 38, and the second time in this chapter, chapter 24, verses 40 and 41, twice. And this is the word that describes, well, it's a technical term, that describes a leaving behind, a divorce. That the godly and the ungodly, one writer J.C. Ra puts it, at present mingled together in the congregation, in a place of worship, in the city, in the field, the children of God and the children of the world are side by side. But it shall not be always, he says. In the day of our Lord's return, there shall at length be a complete division. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, each party will be separated from the other forever. Wives will be separated from husbands. Parents from children. Brothers from sisters. Masters from servants. Preachers from hearers. There will be no time for repentance or change of mind when the Lord appears. All shall be taken as they are, ripped as they have sown. And therefore, the Lord wants us not to mince our words. And that's why the Lord has kept this portion of Scripture, two chapters, not only in chapter 24, which we are studying now, but also in chapter 25, he would give further parables how we are to prepare. And so the Lord tells us, do not be left behind. Do not set dates. He says, do not be complacent. Do not be left behind. Make sure that you are a Christian. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And then make sure that it is so also for the people around you, the people whom you loved, the people whom you can influence. And lastly, watch and be ready. Verse 42 to 44. The word watch there is a command. We said present active imperative, meaning that you are to, it's a command that you be watchful all the time, continuously. It must be your lifestyle. You know, there are certain jobs in which we are on call all the time. I was doing a job where I was on call all the time. I worked for a European company. And so we start work in the morning. And then when Europe starts working, you know, we start communicating. And then we have customers or clients in America. And so after Europe closes, then America would start. And you would have conference calls after that. And then next morning is back to work again. And you ask yourself, wow, is there no relief? You know, your phone is on all the time. Calls can come anytime. Sometimes you feel very tired. No more strength. Cannot cope. But that is the kind of vigilance that God wants us to have. God wants us to build for ourselves, in our own spiritual life, for our families, the people around us. The Lord says, watch, for ye know not what hour the Lord cometh. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Very simple illustration. Right? You have your own house. You don't want the thief to come and break in. So you better be prepared to make sure that you have your alarms, you have your locks. You don't leave your door unlocked. Because the thief can come once and that's it. You know, it's a lifetime of regret. The Lord will come only once. And those who are not prepared will regret. Therefore, verse 44 says, be ye also ready. Right? The the verb to be is also present middle imperative, meaning that you yourself have to be continuously ready. And it's a command, meaning that you have to be, you are commanded to be ready. It means if you are sleepy, the Lord says that you better not be. So it's a personal application that we are to be alert, to be ready. For in such an hour ye think not. Right, present active indicative, meaning that, you know, it is a fact that it will come in some point in time. For in such an hour that ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And the Son of Man is interesting here, is in present middle indicative, meaning that he will come personally to receive his church. And if you know your Christ, then you would go with him. Christianity is a relationship between man and God. And sin is a broken relationship. Jesus Christ has breached that relationship. When we have him, we have everything. And the Lord tells us that there is a day of judgment that is coming. But for the believers, it's a day of rejoicing. Because it's a day when you receive your reward from the Lord. The Lord will say to you, thou good and faithful servant. But for the world, it's a regret. And so the Lord wants us to be up and about serving him. Out, up and about like Noah, preparing for his coming. Do not set dates. Do not be complacent. Do not be left behind. Watch and be ready. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank thee for showing to us how we are to prepare ourselves for thy coming again. O Lord, may thou be merciful and gracious to help us to understand the matter at hand. Help us to see with the Spirit's eye and help us to be awakened to the gravity of the matter that is being discussed here, and help us to be ready and be prepared. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.